Hi, welcome back to Shop Talk with the Sheriff. I'm Sheriff Gregory Tony here in Broward County. Thank you for joining us on the show today. As many of you all know, as you've been following and tracking, we always try to bring in special guests. Sometimes the guests are external, part of community active groups or people who are engaged in positive things out in Broward County. But we also go back in-house and we bring in different members and leaders that operate in the agency to talk about their respective responsibilities. Or today, we're actually talking about something that's really important, most certainly in law enforcement, which is National Police Women Day. And so who better to bring in to talk about this than one of our veteran captains who've been with the agency for quite some time now, going back to 2003. We have Captain Andrea Tianga with us today. Captain, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Really quick, I just want to recap your career because you kind of run the gauntlet pretty early. You started back in 2003. You did the baseline patrol like every officer. You hit street crimes. You worked in the Broward College unit. You did missing persons, violent crimes. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So talk a little bit about, hey, what got you involved in law enforcement? Why'd you join? And what are you currently doing now for the agency?
So, you know, why I joined law enforcement is probably just a story of growing up. I was raised by my dad. I really don't think that there was ever any limitations put on what I could do when I grow up. And, you know, so there was never, when we talk about women in law enforcement, it wasn't like, well, that's a boy job. I mean, anything I wanted to do, he supported me. And I eventually also had a huge love for animals. When I was a teenager, I worked at an animal hospital as a vet tech, and there were these pit bulls that came in that had been fought. And I remember the vet talking about how she was going to go to the police and report that these dogs had been fought. And, you know, there was a veteran vet there who was like, really, you're going to go use your own time in the courts? And she was like, oh, I guess you're right. And I remember thinking, like, who's going to advocate for these dogs? So by the time I was 20, I was like, I'm going to go advocate for animals. I'm going to go be a cop. And I walked in at 20 years old to the Broward Sheriff's Office. It's the only place I applied at. I knew I had to be here. I wanted to be here. And I told him one of my goals was to work animal cruelty. I thought that I had a good baseline knowledge of it, having worked as a vet tech. And that's what I wanted to do. Throughout my career, I've done a lot of really cool things. I think that's the benefit of working at the Broward Sheriff's Office is, you know, we go from the beaches to the Everglades. You can come here and be a road patrol cop. You could be a homicide cop. You can fly a helicopter. You can work a canine. It's basically you can have 100 jobs while you're here in your 30-year career, and there's just never a dull moment. So everything I wanted to do, I have worked animal cruelty cases, but as I kept climbing the ranks, I saw that I had a potential to do so much more. Like, as a detective, I could help one dog. Where I'm sitting right now, I'm writing policy. I'm developing training. And I'm, you know, super proud. I just put out a policy on what, you know, deputies should do when they respond to crimes involving animals. And I'm really proud of that. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't start at an agency and write policy. But well, I had that opportunity in my career.
You know, you perfect segue. Let's talk about where you are now. You know, recently I had the honor of making the formal promotion. But as I always say, people promote themselves. I just signed the paperwork. So what are you doing right now for the agency? Talk about the new positioning, the new bureau of which we created, and just elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, so we have an Office of Inspector General, and I'm one of the components within there. I oversee policy and accountability. So we deal with accreditation standards and ensuring that our agency is compliant with those standards. And then we also develop policy. So sometimes it's, you know, I think it's like a very forward-thinking job. Back in my like detective days, it was about anticipating crimes. It was seeing trends coming and seeing how we can overcome crimes happening. And I'm kind of doing that from this seat, only it's not crime-based. It's saying what's out happening in the world and how can we write policy to make sure that our cops are doing the right things, that they have the best guidelines to go by. And that's kind of what I do now. It's still very forward-thinking. I spend every single day coming in and I start looking at what's happening out in the world, what's happening in the United States, what decisions are being made in courts. And there's also, you know, I know it doesn't sound glamorous. I just recently went to a training and everybody goes around the room and they're like, I'm the SWAT captain and I'm this. And I'm like, oh, I do policy and accountability, but what I do is so important and it's very meaningful.
Yeah, look, it's essential. It's not the sexy part of law enforcement, right? We're not jumping out of helicopters and all that cool stuff, but Without policies, you can't jump out of helicopters. You can't do all the things that we're doing. So
exactly.
Very important. I was happy to see this come up when Colonel Hell spoke about the importance of developing this with Major Champagne, and it's just been great. So back to highlighting the importance of our discussion today. It's National Police Women Day, and that's what we're recognizing. We talked a little bit about the highlight of your career. What we didn't expand upon is the success in your career. Success is not just within, you know, gravitating towards new units and promotions, but also just performance, right? You won the Life Saving Award, the Gold Cross Award, and numerous other different awards throughout your law enforcement career. Law enforcement in general, very old culture, going back to really early 1900s, and we've seen the transition to where minorities traditionally weren't part of that development culture. And minorities, to me, not just black and brown people, but also women. And then now here we are in 2021 in our organization. The Broward Sheriff's Office has been around 107 years now, and we have tried to diversify the organization across all spectrums. And I think we have more women in leadership roles, essential leadership roles, including the undersheriff and many others. What would you say is the importance of ensuring that not only we stick with this culture and trend and path that we're on now and in this administration, but in the country, about giving women an opportunity to be not only in this profession, but to excel equally as men do?
Yeah, I do. I love what's happened. When I first started in my career, I was the lone female for maybe like the first 10 years as a permanent female on my shift, as the, you know, a detective within my unit. And, you know, I was driving in on midnight shift all over the county doing female searches because there just weren't a whole lot of us out there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one day I'm working a shift and it was like a 50-50 female to male ratio. I just love to see what's happened with our agency. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, is it the agency? I think we as an agency are doing a lot of great things in promoting everybody. I think you could have all the knowledge in the world, all the expertise. If you don't have opportunity, you don't get to use it anywhere. And so we've developed a culture of providing that opportunity, of succession planning, of mentoring. I think that it's important to have women in leadership roles because sometimes it's, you get to develop a personal relationship with people a little bit further than, you know, if they see themselves in your shoes, they perhaps would strive to be there. Whereas if they thought there was no opportunity to get there one day, maybe they wouldn't give their all. So I love the whole mentoring aspect of everything we're doing.
Yeah. And you know, you have to be able to see yourself in positions one, you know, from adolescence to adulthood, you got to be able to see that the opportunity exists. And so when new younger deputies that come into our organization see a cross section of every part of culture, every part of society, and in this case, we're talking about women in senior ranking executive positions, I think it benefits them to know that, hey, they got a fair shot. You got a fair chance. It's going to be up to you. You know, we don't promote people based on gender. We don't promote people based on the color of their skin. We base that promotion on competency and performance. And so if you're fitting that mode, why does it matter in terms of your gender? And so, you know, that's been a big push here. But with that being said, this has a significant impact for the community, wouldn't you say? In terms of how the community perceives our organization, have you seen that throughout your career as you've, you know, climbed the ladder where people, you know, recognize you first as a sergeant and a lieutenant? And what type of impact does it have on the community?
I also think what, you know, again, what we're doing with the community helps to see, you know, young girls who are coming up see this as an opportunity for their future. I've had a lot of people, I think one of the biggest compliments I've ever received, you know, now going forward and having so much more time in my career, that when I meet young female cops, they say, you know, I'm a cop because of you. You may not remember me, but I met you at this event. And I mean, that to me is so humbling and so amazing to think that that I had that opportunity to give that to somebody and see what the future of law enforcement is happening. I think it's super important for them to see us out in the public and also to see us as more than just, you know, like I always, when people talk about women in law enforcement, like, oh yeah, I have this thing. I hate that for a girl. I think it's one of those backhanded compliments. Like you run good for a girl. Yeah. It's like saying police good for a girl. you know? And I love to see that, no, we just police great and we do things great. And if we're not doing things great, then we're not doing things great. We don't need to set the bar low. We need to keep the bar very high for everybody and keep going out there and doing the right thing. And I love to see that now we show up on a scene as leadership and we're showing that possibility, not just to the deputies, but to the community.
And that didn't happen overnight. You know, I'm sure that came with a lot of challenges, a lot of things you had to face in your career. You know, if you're speaking out to that young lady out there who's like, I want to be Captain Tianga when I grow up, what would you tell her to anticipate in terms of some of the challenges that you had to deal with coming into a male-dominant profession?
Well, first of all, don't be me. Be better than me. Should always be surpassing and learning and setting high goals. But when I first started, I remember I sat down with my FTO. We went to lunch and we were there sitting across the table from another cop. And he basically said, the only reason why you'll make it here is because people want something from you. And I don't know if his intent was to, whatever his intent was, whether it was maybe to be sexist, maybe he was just disgruntled. And whenever people are succeeding around him, that's the excuse he gives, that they must not deserve it because I don't have it, so they must not deserve it. But I remember it kind of put a little fire in me that, okay, well, I'll make sure that I deserve it. I'll make sure that I perform better than you, that I write better than you, that I'm more educated than you. I came to the Broward Sheriff's Office with a high school diploma, and now I have a master's degree. But I always wanted to deserve everywhere I got. And I don't necessarily hold against him his comment because maybe I wouldn't have worked as hard to prove him wrong, you know? And just like there's him in the agency, there's a lot of people who've brought me up in the agency that saw, I remember I had a lieutenant. I was on midnight shift. I was a brand new cop. And he was like reading one of my reports. And back in the day, you worked 10:30 at night to 6:30 in the morning. You never saw command. And he's like, man, who's this guy? He does real great cases. And they said, that's not a guy, that's a girl. And he was like, I got to meet her, you know? And he recognized talent, you know, he recognized it. At the time he brought me in and he said, man, I keep seeing your name on these reports. I see you putting in for all this training. And I was like, I just want to be the best. And he goes, do you have a college degree? And I was like, well, no, I don't, you know, I don't have the time or the money. And he goes, you're never going to have the time or the money. And in fact, I'm not approving any more of your training until you're signed up for college. And, you know, he set a fire in me. And because of him, I have a college, you know, I have a master's degree because I wanted him to start approving my training again. And from the crappy comment to his, they're both comments lit a fire in me and motivated me and propelled me forward. I think of all the people, you know, I didn't do this alone. It's been the opportunities that I've had that have catapulted my career. It's been people having faith in me when I might've had the work ethic, but not the knowledge.
You know, you bring up a good point about people along the journey, right? Everyone always sees the end result of success. And they say, oh man, you're so lucky to be where you are. And I haven't been lucky once in my life, but there's been a hell of a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of good people who guided me, mentored me, and spent time to kind of shape me to who I am. In terms of our agency or external, you know, what women in law enforcement did you encounter since 2003 that you could say, you know what, if it wasn't for her or something she said or something she did or her accomplishments, anyone stand out? I know that's kind of putting you under fire, but there's a lot
that is putting me under the fire. I've just had the gamut of great people. It's funny. I just went to this executive management course and I was in a room full of all these police chiefs and we were definitely represented the biggest agency with, you know, almost 6,000 people, but we had people with a department of 25. And I had one guy come up to me after the class and he said, listen, we have no women in our department and we haven't had any since, I forget, 2012. I'm going to make it up. Can you help me? I want to get women in the department. And what do you think I can do? Would it help if, does it help to mentorship programs? Does recruiting, you know, like actually recruiting females work? Like what can we do to get more females and what worked for you? Did you have, are you more likely to apply at a department with females? And I was like, wow, you know, I feel like the answer is yes and no. And I literally put yes and no, because I said, I came up in a male dominated department and I've loved every second of it. You know, like I said, I owe everything I am to everybody I've come across, the good and the bad, because either way I've like I said, catapulted forward.
Sure.
Whether it was their bad comments or their good comments, both male and female. I do think there's value in having a lot of females. Like right now, I think about like our, we got like a little female group going on that we get together and we go to kids' birthday parties. And, you know, it starts as a kid's birthday party, but in the end we're sitting around talking about work and politics and cases, because how can I sit with a civilian friend and talk about, you know, a case I had with child sexual assault, sure, or having someone's life slip between, you know, my fingers, and compare that to, you know, someone who had a rough day at the office.
Yeah.
And that is why it's so important to have yourself represented within the agency. It's because of sometimes the informal networking that's more valuable than the formal ones.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, there must be, you know, I sit and work as a member of the Major County Sheriffs of America, which is an organization comprised of about 110 of the largest sheriff's offices across the country. And we represent collectively 230 million Americans across the demographics. And I've been to a couple of meetings over the last 2 years, 9 months, and you walk into these environments, you walk into these rooms, and you instantly see that although we have made a lot of success here and many other organizations across the country, we are still very grossly behind when it comes to women leadership. I can tell you, out of that 110, there may be two in the room. If we count that, that serves as a senior ranking law enforcement administration minister in a county. So think about that. There's 3,000 plus sheriffs across the country. About 5% of them represent African Americans, less than 3% represent women. So we have a long way to go before we start bringing in a greater degree of senior ranking officials, and then also just women law enforcement officers in general. Something I want to dive back. We're going to take a little stroll back through the histories of time.
I see a smile on your face, and I'm getting real worried.
Yeah, you know this is coming. I want to talk a little bit about the impact that perhaps the police woman of Broward County had on you as a member. Was on the show, if you guys like, oh, yeah, I remember her name. Yeah, that's, she was on TV back in the day. I think it was around 2009. Right, Cap, you were on the show?
And I haven't changed
today. Did you see any impact that had on your career or the perception for women in law enforcement in general?
Yeah, actually, I kind of referenced it without referencing it. And basically, you know, I go into agencies and we'll have young women cops come up to me and say that they're a cop today because of me. And I know it was from the show, but a lot of times people had this perception that women go into law enforcement for these soft positions of, you know, I don't mean soft, but traditionally women nurturing roles of dealing with children or dealing with women or, you know, and working in schools.
Sure.
And I think that the show really highlighted that different side that nobody really saw before that. And not only did they see these tough positions, they saw how we were, you know, biologically, we may not be as strong as men, but we are sometimes, you know, perhaps have to be creative in our approach. So we had to do amazing things, and people started to see themselves in that position. And like I said, some people say, well, I have a small child at home. They saw that we were doing it with children because it showed that other side. And so, like I said, one of the biggest compliments someone will ever say to me is, I'm a cop today because of you. And it's not just women who say it. I get it from men too. And it's something so proud. I remember when they first approached me, what's funny is like about a week before they told me I was going to be on TV, they asked me if I would do a picture for a billboard. And I was, at the time I was working undercover, and I'm like, listen, doing undercover things, doing big things out there, taking down big bad guys. I don't want my face out there.
Right.
And I turned down this billboard thing. And then the next week, they're like, oh, by the way, you're going to be on TV. And I'm like, man, you know, Cops has been around for forever. Nobody recognizes people off Cops. I'll probably fly incognito. And I didn't. And I remember that was like an overwhelming thing for me to be recognized on the street, because I'm like, I won't be able to work undercover anymore.
Yeah, those days are over.
Yeah, but you want to know something like magical that happened that I just didn't anticipate and predict was I was still going to do great things, but I was going to do it through that
different channel,
that connection with the public, mm-hmm, rather than that connection with that one bad guy.
Well, look, for those who just jumped on late. I always say shame on you. You missed some good time on here, but I just want to recap who we have today. Brought in a special guest in-house, one of our captains over the Policy and Accountability Bureau, Captain Andrea Tienga, has been with us since 2003, veteran law enforcement officer. We're just recognizing and honoring National Police Women Day and talking about the experiences that she's had in her career, the successes, and the path leading forward. You know, Captain, if we had to close out, and you're talking to some young lady out there who is considering joining law enforcement, what would be your message to her?
Come to the Broward Sheriff's Office, because this place is definitely top-notch. I've had an amazing career here. I've had an amazing career. I've met so many amazing people. I always say, you know, like back when I was working as a detective and you're sitting next to a person for, you know, 16 hours a day, a center console away, and going through life and death situations, you've never known family like that. And I still to this day, like, even if I worked with them 15 years ago, they're still my brothers and sisters. You can go to anywhere in America. I don't care. Go to a restaurant and sit down, and you sit down next to another cop. You will be exchanging stories. You will be buying each other coffee. And that doesn't happen in every profession. This profession is something you can't even describe. The camaraderie is amazing. And I've had an amazing career. And, you know, I feel so grateful for where I'm at today, the influence I have today. Wasn't necessarily what I wanted back then. When I applied here, I wanted, you know, to chase bad guys and have fun. And it was super exciting. And then all of a sudden, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And your eyes get open to this world of, wow, I just chased after a guy that I sat next to in the fifth grade. Why do our lives go so different? And how can I prevent this from happening to other people? Mm-hmm. And so, man, you get out there. There's a job here for everybody. Like I said, you want to work a canine, you want to fly a helicopter, you want to work on the beach, you want to work in the wetlands. We got everything in between. This is an amazing place to work, and I definitely recommend.
Well, you heard it. Join us. You can go to sheriff.org/recruitment-jobs, and we'll take you. Captain, look, appreciate you coming on today, sharing some time, sharing your perspective. All the great years of service at BSO. So happy to see that you've been able to build yourself up and promote yourself. I was happy to sign the paperwork. For all of you that came on to the show, I say thank you for joining me on Shop Talk with the Sheriff. Remember to follow me on Instagram at BSO Sheriff Tony. It's not a stunt double. It's me. Also, subscribe to the podcast so you get early alerts for every new episode. In the meantime, stay safe, be humble, and try to love somebody a little bit more than you love yourself.